was 1828. My seafaring days were now finished, and I settled down to a life with my beloved companion and my children in Fairhaven. I gladly re-engaged in the temperance work and other reforms.
Writing another letter to the Sailor's Magazine, Joseph?
Hmm?
Or is this one to the Missionary Herald?
Broody, my dear, I didn't hear you come in.
I dare say. That letter must be of great interest to you.
Actually, it's not a letter. I'm making some notes for the first meeting of the Fairhaven Seaman's Friend Society.
You'll never stop thinking of ways to help sailors, will you?
Someone must help them, and having been one, I flatter myself that I know their needs pretty well.
But if you take on this new project, will that leave you enough time to help circulate tracts for the American Tract Society?
To tell you the truth, my interest in that organization has waned. They've repeatedly refused to publish any tracts in favor of the downtrodden and oppressed slave. It seems the managers of the society have unbounded benevolence for the whole human race, except those who are suffering by their own firesides.
About this time, a particularly sleepless night convinced me to give up tea and coffee. In the year 1831, I sold my home in Fairhaven and located my family on my few acres, which I called Meadow Farm. But trouble was brewing. About the close of this year and commencement of 1832, anti-slavery organizations began to be organized, advocating immediate emancipation of slaves. These societies met with great opposition from the Colonization Society.
Friends, it is against the Constitution of the United States and the principles for which it stands that men are being subjected to the most vile of human conditions, slavery.
What are you talking about? Most of the signers of the Constitution were slaveholders.
He's right. Yeah. And what's more, our country couldn't survive without slaves. Who picked the cotton and harvest the tobacco? Tell me that!
That's right. You tell us, sir.
Don't you understand? Our country cannot survive, cannot remain united, if this disgrace of slavery is not abolished.
He's an abolitionist!
My pardon, brother!
Ride him out on the rail!
We don't need his kind.
Now that way we lynch men like him.
Look out! Oh. Here comes the sheriff.
Prudy, more and more I feel the importance of taking a decided stand on the side of the oppressed slaves.
I'm not surprised, Joseph. You're such a good, caring man. That's one of the reasons I fell in love with you.
Perhaps I'm not so good as you think me. I fear to take this step. My stand on temperance has already caused a thorough sifting of my friends. I don't think I have enough left that I dare lose any more.
Are your friends more important to you than doing what is just?
You're right, of course. My duty is clear. I couldn't be a consistent Christian if I stood on the side of the oppressor or on neutral ground. God is not there. My only alternative is to plead for the slave.
The first meeting of the Fairhaven Anti-Slavery Society will come to order. Let the record show there are 40 charter members, an auxiliary to the New England Anti-Slavery Society. Our chaplain will pronounce the invocation.
We will pray for those in the churches who are offended by this holy work. And as we pray, let us also remember them that are in bonds as bound with them.
As the work advanced during the years of 1832 to 1835, there was much contention from all quarters of the Union. One of our members was arrested in South Carolina and renounced abolitionism to save his life. But opposition was more clearly manifest in the North.
Be it known, therefore, that we hate, despise, and oppose the so-called Fairhaven Anti-Slavery Society as being a blot on the Union. That abolition and all societies which promote it are a festering sore on the face of our country. That such societies are unconstitutional and unpopular. And that it is our right, privilege, and duty to oppose and disrupt abolitionist meetings at every opportunity. All in favor!
Aye! Good evening, friend.
Where are you going, friend?
To the anti-slavery meeting.
I thought so. Well, you can tell them from me. They're not going to have much of a meeting tonight. Some of us patriots are going to break it up. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's typical of the evil of slavery. The whole system is so wicked, its supporters cannot bear to see their fellow citizens exercise their constitutional right of free speech.
You just watch out, that's all.
In spite of many such threats, our meetings were never disturbed. Others, however, were not so fortunate.
Such wickedness. How can they call themselves Christians?
What is it, dear?
A mob of gentlemen of property and standing in Boston tried to lynch William Lloyd Garrison.
Isn't he the editor of that paper, The Liberator?
Yes. He's written that slavery must be abolished immediately. He says that slavery is a sin, and you can't wipe out sin piecemeal. If slaves have a right to their freedom, it ought to be given to them, regardless of consequences.
He's right. How can anyone hate justice so strongly that they try to lynch someone who only speaks the truth?
Captain Bates! Captain Bates!
Huh?
Have you heard the terrible news?
No. What's happened now?
Elijah Lovejoy has been killed in Illinois.
The abolitionist editor? No.
Yes. He escaped the first time when a mob destroyed his printing press in St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
He moved across the river to Alton, but it seems that Satan's agents are everywhere. They burned his office and shot him as he jumped out of a second-story window.
By their fruits ye shall know them. How can anyone think that slavery is anything but evil?
But our views seem to be in a minority, Captain Bates. It is certainly not popular in government circles. Why, President Jackson himself has asked Congress to give postmasters the power to stop the distribution of anti-slavery pamphlets.
That's true. He called them incendiary publications. He fears they will encourage slaves to revolt.
Incendiary, huh? Well, slavery itself is incendiary. I fear our whole country will suffer the flames of hatred and violence unless justice prevails. And soon...
While the subjects of anti-slavery and pro-slavery were agitating the Union, a wonderful phenomenon occurred in the heavens during the night of November 13th, 1833. The spectacular occurrence caused great alarm among the people of the whole world.
What is that light? Someone's house must be on fire. I must go help.
I'll get up too. Can you see whose house it is?
Why, it's not a fire at all. Come look at this. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Oh, the stars are falling.
Look, it's so bright in here. I can read my watch hanging over the mantel.
Oh.
Nothing like this has ever happened in my experience. I don't know what to make of it.
Could it be the Day of Judgment?
Satan! What's happening?
I wished I knew. It's been going on like this for hours. It was thickest about 4 o'clock. It looked like a real blizzard then, a blizzard of stars. It looks like the whole world is about to come apart. Surely it's the Day of Judgment.
I hope not. I'm not ready. Please, Lord, give me more time.
I've been keeping my eye on the morning star. Long as that stands firm, I think we're safe. I'm afeard. I'm afeard that any moment...
I'm lost! I'm not ready!
Oh, Joseph, look! How beautiful!
You know, I think I know what this means.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in Matthew 24:29, Jesus gave his disciples signs that they might know when his coming was near. One of those signs was that the stars should fall from heaven. John the Revelator mentions it too.
Yes. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind.
Yes. Listen, Prudy. This letter is from an acquaintance of mine, captain of a whaling ship. He was anchored off the California coast at the time, and he reports he saw falling stars all around the vessel.
And the newspaper says the falling stars were seen across the world on the Red Sea. And in Liverpool, England, the meteors were as splendid as in North America.
The more I think about it, the more I'm sure that those of us who were fortunate enough to see this great exhibition saw not only the greatest display of celestial fireworks since the creation of the world, we saw Bible prophecy fulfilled.